Jesus came to his disciples walking on the water. Let me open today by reading one of the Psalms. In Psalm 107, and in the Psalm, we see a beautiful description of God controlling the waters. The power of God over the sea. Now, this psalm is not a prophecy of the event of Jesus walking on the water, but it does describe what happens. And the power of God we see in Psalm 107 is the power of Jesus in controlling the waters, of having power over the sea. Psalm 107, beginning at verse 22. The psalm writer says, "Let them sacrifice thanks offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. And in their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he brought them out of their distress, and he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. And when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Then thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men." Again, Psalm 107 is not a prophecy of the events of Jesus, but they provide a description. It's a psalm that acknowledges the power of God over the sea, the power of God over the waters. Jesus, God the Son, does that by walking upon the waters, by stilling the storm. We've been studying the book of Exodus on Wednesday night, and there we saw how God controls the waters in the story of the Exodus. We've been mentioning all along that the Passover is kind of a background for this, this story of Jesus feeding the multitudes, walking on the water. It was the Passover season. And so that was fresh on the minds as they were heading toward Jerusalem. How did God control the waters in the Exodus story? Well, remember one of the plagues in Egypt was God turning the Nile into blood, controlling the waters that way. And then we read the remarkable story about how God parted the Red Sea and allowed the people to pass through that body of water safely. And then Pharaoh and his army tried to do the same, and God allowed the waters to close in around them. Jesus controls the water. He comes to the disciples on the boat. We read that the disciples were terrified. They were full of fear. In fact, one of the Gospels said they thought it was a ghost. Jesus says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." We looked at this verse briefly last time. We noted that this idea of "do not be afraid" is a repeating theme in the scriptures. In fact, 165 times that idea is expressed somewhere in the Bible. That's one for every day of the year. Do not be afraid. God tells us that. Jesus tells us that. Here in this verse, verse 20, Jesus says, "It is I, do not be afraid." Now the word order there is very important. It is I. Do not be afraid. That first little part, "it is I," is actually a translation of a phrase that we talked much about back in John chapter 4. We first introduced this topic back in John chapter 4. If you recall, Jesus met the woman at the well. They had a conversation about who he was as God. And the same idea, the same phrase was used. And so just going back to John chapter 4, beginning at verse 23, in this conversation between Jesus and this woman, Jesus says, "Yet a time is coming and is now come, and the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus says to her, "I who speak to you am he." And that phrase, we looked at that phrase very closely. And that phrase, if you recall, was, "It is I," or simply, "I am." And "go a me" is what the original says, the one speaking to you. And today, as we come to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 20, same word order, same construction, "go a me," "I am," "do not be afraid." That idea, that phrase, "in his eye," comes of the Exodus. It is the "I am" of the Exodus. When we looked at this in John chapter 4, we noted that the Gospel of John uses this phrase many times. There are seven statements of the are often referred to as the "I am" statements. The very first one is John chapter 4 in the conversation with Jesus and the woman. And then after that, John continues to draw attention to that idea. The background is the conversation between God and Moses at the burning bush. Again, it's the Exodus, it's the Passover. Let me read to you Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. This is when God meets Moses at the burning bush. If you recall that story, God is sending Moses back to Egypt to set the people free, to lead them back to the promised land. In verse 13 it says, "Moses said to God, 'Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, well, what is his name? They tell them.' And God said to Moses," 14, "I am who I am. This I am to you." Now that "I am" original language is for being, for "I am." It's the tetragon. It's an interesting word. Whereas other Hebrew words are supposed to remain without vowel points because people didn't pronounce this word. It was an unpronounced name of God. in the Greek language, which became the Septuagint, the Old Testament in the Greek language, instead of using the tetragrammaton, they used the phrase I am, ego eimi. When translated, it was, and in Hebrew, it's the I am. Throughout the Gospel of Jesus will utter this word in reference to himself. Again, the first time was in John chapter 4, and then after that, many more times, 21 times total. But of those 21 times, 7 of them were used in a metaphorical sense. I am the bread of life. That's the first I am in the metaphorical sense that we will look at as we come to the close of the chapter we're on now. And then Jesus will say, I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of and the life. And we'll look at each of those as we come to them in our study of the Gospel of John. Now, in the Jewish mindset, this I am, this statement about I am, is a clear understanding or reference to Jesus being God himself. And that's how the people understood it. I am. Do not be afraid. Have courage. The disciples were to have courage because they now knew that Jesus was with them. When they started off the story, it said that it was dark because Jesus had not yet joined them. But Jesus is now joining them. The darkness is over. They need not fear anymore. They should have courage. And this is true for us today. When we know that Jesus is present, we need not fear. Jesus says to his disciples, it is I. I am near to you. I am with you now. There's no more need for fear. This reminds us of an important theological idea of the nature of God. Maybe you've heard this before. God is sometimes described as a transcendent God. And other times he's described as an immanent God. God is sometimes above, outside, or over his creation. That makes God at times feel maybe a little bit distant. But there are other times when God is so close by, he's present with us. As we'll see in the story as it continues to unfold, Jesus comes to his disciples. And eventually he will step into the boat with his disciples. He is close by. He's with them. No more need for fear. David celebrates the closeness of God when he writes in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit?" he says. "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." The disciples were out in the middle of the sea. They were in the midst of a storm. Jesus came to them. Jesus stepped into the boat. He was present with them. We cannot be in our own storm without Jesus being close by. We noted last time that at first Jesus was up on the mountain praying for them, and then he came to them, and then he finally stepped into the boat. He is with them. He is present. And today that is still true. Jesus comes to them walking on the water. He came to his followers when they were in the darkest part of the night. We noted before that it was the fourth watch of the night. 3 a.m, we suggested. And Jesus comes to them. They were full of fear. Once he arrived, they found courage. We noted that the disciples were exhausted. They were tired even before the day of the feeding of the multitudes. They worked that whole day, and then they rode throughout the night. They were exhausted. They were tired. They were miserable. You've ever been out in a situation like this where you are fighting the storm in the midst of the sea? You're miserable. They're wondering how they're going to survive, and then only then Jesus comes to them. This prompts the question, why did he delay? Why didn't Jesus come earlier? Why was it at the fourth watch of the night Jesus shows up? Why couldn't he have come in the first watch of the night? Don't we want Jesus there in his felt presence right at the beginning of our storm? Right at the beginning of whatever it is that is oppressing us? Why does sometimes Jesus delay his arrival? A moment before, the disciples feared for their lives, and then they heard the voice of Jesus. When we focus upon Jesus, we will find the help we need. Are you going through a storm right now? He sees you. He's praying for you. He's walking toward you, and he wants to join you. Believe that. Rest in that. Appropriate that. Rejoice that you understand that help is on the way. Help arrived in these disciples long before they saw it. They were filled with darkness. Are you in the midst of a darkness right now? Do you wonder how you're going to get out? Keep expecting him to come, because sometimes he will come in the fourth watch. But he comes. We mentioned before that this particular story of the walking on the water is told in John's Gospel. It's also told in Matthew's Gospel and in Mark's Gospel. It's in Matthew's account of this very story that we read about the situation of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water for a very short time out to join Jesus. I know it's a familiar story, but let me read to you verses 28 through 31 of Matthew 14, the story of Peter walking on the water. Same story we are looking at today in John chapter 6. Lord, Peter said, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, come. Then Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the waves and was afraid and began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, maybe you've heard a message on this particular passage. A common application is that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and began to look at the problems. And that's when he began to sink. That's a whole sermon in itself right there. But we're looking at John chapter 6. Taking our eyes off of Jesus and looking at the storm isn't what brings the help. The help comes when we take our eyes off the storm and put them on Jesus. Peter had to learn that. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? I wonder why Peter got out of that boat if, as we learned, he thought he had seen a ghost. Well, I think he recognized the voice of Jesus. It's a voice that he had heard so many times before. It reminds us of the story of Mary in the garden when she encountered the resurrected Lord. And at first she thought it was the gardener. And then she asked him, where have you taken my Lord? And then when Jesus began to talk to her, she recognized that's the voice of Jesus. And her countenance changed. Peter saw a figure coming to him on the water. He and the others thought, is this a ghost? Should we be afraid? Jesus spoke to them. They recognized his voice. And Peter finds the courage to walk out to Jesus. In Mark's account of this story, we have an interesting comment on the part of Jesus. He comments that their fear is out of place. Let me read to you. Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 50 and 51, 52. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. Last week we made reference to this notion of the loaves. We said when they finished feeding the multitudes, they gathered up 12 baskets of leftovers. And the speculation was, were some of those leftovers in the boat with the disciples? Could this not have been a reminder to them, evidence to them of Jesus' ability to do miraculous things? If that bread were in the boat with them, why did they lack confidence? Why were they filled with fear? It would have been much more reasonable to have faith and confidence with bread in the boat than to believe they were seeing a ghost and be filled with fear. The last part of verse 52 makes a reference to their hearts that had been hardened. We wonder, is this an allusion to the hard hearts in the story of Exodus? One of the key elements of that story of the Exodus is the hardness of the people's hearts, both Pharaoh, but also the people of Israel, as we will continue the story, as they travel through the wilderness with Moses leading them. There'll be times when they continue to demonstrate a hardness of a heart, a lack of faith. In Mark's telling the story, he refers to their hearts being hardened. Since Jesus was with them now, they need not fear. They need to be filled with confidence. Their hearts need to be strong, confident that Jesus has arrived. Jesus has stepped into the boat. Their storm is over. This reminds us of the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If Jesus is in the boat, why should we have fear? Verse 32, he did not spare his own son, gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If Jesus is with you, and he is, If Jesus is with you, there is no place for fear. You don't need to fear the waves. You don't need to fear a ghost. You don't need to fear even death out there on the sea. There's another connection with this story in Psalm 23. We looked at Psalm 23 when we looked at the feeding of the multitude, and we noted how this psalm spoke quite a bit to the story of the feeding of the multitude. Well, now we see this psalm again speaking to a key element in the story. The disciples should not have been filled with fear. It says in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Again, we have another little interesting detail in Mark's telling of the story. It says in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. He was about to pass by. Why would Jesus walk out to the boat and pass by? But Mark gives us this little detail. He was about to pass by. Why would Jesus pass by? Well, maybe he is waiting for an invitation. He's waiting for the disciples to invite him into the boat. So they willingly received him into the boat. Jesus comes to us. Will we welcome Jesus into our boat? Will we let him take the wheel? Will we welcome him into our homes and into our lives? Jesus is not going to force himself in. He wants us to invite him in. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Are we willing to open that door and let him in? If he comes out to our boat in the midst of the storm, are we going to invite him in? Or just prefer that he keep on going? Back now to the story as told by the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Let's look now at verse 21. "Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Fourth watch of the night, he waited." Reminds us of the story of Lazarus. Lazarus died. The sisters wanted Jesus to come, and the Bible tells us that Jesus delayed his arrival to the family. Why did he delay? When Jesus knows our need, he knows that he's coming to us. But sometimes he will delay coming to us at that strategic point. These disciples had been out on the sea for 6 hours. Fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes to them. Sometimes he waits, sometimes he delays, but he does come to us. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, it says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, will he be gracious unto you." We'd love for him to come at the first watch of our night, the first part of our storm, but he comes when he comes. We need to wait upon the Lord, knowing that when he does come, he he will be gracious to us. I'm sure you've heard this phrase before. It's often repeated. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Sometimes we pray for things. We want God to answer our prayer now, but God delays in answering our prayer. There's lessons to be learned in that. Eventually, he does come, and he walks upon the water, and the disciples invite him in. Upon getting into the boat, the wind dies down. The storm is calmed. And it says immediately they were at the shore. This was a miracle. There are several miracles here. First, walking upon the water was a miracle, demonstrating Jesus' control over the water. Psalm 107. Then we have the calming of the storm. At the word of Jesus, the waters are calmed. He is the God over nature. And now we read that, and immediately they were at the shore, walking on the water, calming the storm, immediately at the shore. There are times when God will allow us to struggle in the midst of our storm. But God is always with us. He's bringing us to the shore. God will join us. He will comfort us. He will bring us to our destination. Do not be discouraged when the storm comes. Remember that God is present in your storms, in some degree, praying for you, walking towards you, stepping into the boat with you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your great love. We thank you for always being present with us. We thank you that Jesus came to be God in our midst, to be the I Am. We are encouraged by the story of Jesus coming to his disciples, stepping into the boat, and bringing them safely to their destination. Continue to do that in our lives as well. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.